You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me for our Wednesday show, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. Glad to have you listening in. We've got a jam-packed show coming your way. We are now two practices into the Senior Bowl, and the Seahawks have themselves a new play caller. So a ton to break down here on today's episode. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. After 2 weeks vetting and interviewing candidates, the Seahawks have a new offensive coordinator in town, and they went within the NFC West to find him, as reported by Adam Schefter of ESPN on Tuesday night. Seattle is expected to hire Shane Waldron, who was the Rams passing game coordinator, as well as a quarterback coach the last three seasons. Rob, you and I have talked about a number of different candidates that were thrown out there as possibilities for the Seahawks. A number of them ended up taking jobs with other teams. But all along, Shane Waldron was one of the one or two guys that really jumped out to me that I think really can bridge the gap between what Pete Carroll wants to do offensively and what Russell Wilson wants to do under center.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Corbin. And that's the thing about Shane Waldron is, to me, like, it's almost like when you're evaluating an NFL draft prospect. I mean, Waldron to me is a player, is a coach that you're excited about what he's already done, and yet you still feel like there might be some untapped potential with him. I mean, you mentioned the fact that he was the passing game coordinator with the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, Seahawks fans know far too well how well the Rams offense has been able to move the ball up and down the field over the last several years. You go back to when he was with in Washington, and the fact that that club was, it had its most spectacular seasons when the Waldron was there as well. You go back earlier in his NFL career, and he was coaching with the New England Patriots. Earlier than still, he was at Notre Dame. Again, big time programs, and the fact that he has had success in multiple different schemes, and then you tie that in with what we believe is going to be Pete Carroll really wanting to run the football, which you and I have talked about so many times, really kind of complements what Russell Wilson can do with his deep ball accuracy. To me, this feels like a selection that the Seahawks fans should be very excited about.
So Waldron really comes from the Shanahan coaching tree when you think about who he has worked with, who he has been an understudy for. Obviously, Sean McVay, the last 4 years, McVay took him to Los Angeles when he took the head coaching job back in 2017. And he was on the staff. They were on the staff together in Washington the year before. You mentioned his previous tenure with the New England Patriots. He's coached high school ball. He's coached at UMass. He has coached tight ends, offensive line, quarterbacks. He has been a passing game coordinator. So, you look at his background, he's got a very versatile background. And again, I think Pete Carroll was probably looking at him and thinking, man, I can get the run game that the Rams have, and I can also have some of the quick passing game, the bootlegs, the play action, and all the pre-snap motion. If he can mix all that stuff in there, the pre-snap motion also goes to the run game as well. We know how much the Rams have killed him over the years, and this isn't to say that the Seahawks are suddenly going to run the exact same offense that the Rams do. They're still going to be taking their shots, but the way that I look at this, Rob, is there's so much discussion about establishing the run, but I think a lot of people overlooked when Pete Carroll was talking at the end of the season, his end-of-season press conference, about getting back to running the football. He also mentioned they have to be better with the quick passing game and be more efficient in that area. And I think this offense under Waldron is going to allow them to do that. And you can set up the deep ball, not just with the run, you can set it up by picking teams apart with those short to intermediate routes. And that's something the Seahawks team unfortunately struggled way too much with in the second half of the season. If Waldron is able to dramatically improve Russell Wilson and that offense in the short to intermediate game, it is going to force teams to get out of those two deep safety looks. And then they're going to have to deal with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the outside. And if he's able to get some of those secondary receivers open through scheming, and that was maybe the biggest weakness in Brian Schottenheimer's play calling game, if he's able to be an upgrade in that regard, it dramatically improves this offense moving into 2021.
I agree. That's the thing, is that I really like what you mentioned about just the versatility and how he coached so many different positions, throughout his career. And one of the things that really has been kind of a hallmark just about everywhere he's gone has been the production from the tight end position. And so as you mentioned there with the quick passing game, that's one of the easiest ways to exploit a team that has that two safety look, and it has the linebackers and the safeties that are crashing the line of scrimmage, trying to slow down the running attack, is to be able to just throw those quick little pop passes over the top to tight ends. We've seen so many dynamic tight ends in this division. Now, obviously George Kittle being the superstar, but the way that Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett, just kind of exploded onto the scene over the last couple of years. Whenever the Rams, when one of those guys was injured, then the other one would become a superstar. And that's the thing, is I really think that Seattle does have some talent at that position. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more later in tonight's show, about who are some of the players that really have a chance to kind of statistically kind of pop under Waldron. And again, I think that is one of the positions that really could have a big jump this year. And given the fact that Seattle made the big splashy addition, it didn't turn out as well, but of Greg Olsen, I think that the Seahawks have been planning to try to get their tight ends more involved. And while Olsen obviously has retired, you just made the selection of Colby Parkinson. You just made the selection of Stephon Sullivan. I mean, clearly this is a position that Seattle is trying to exploit. You just now have the offensive coordinator who's kind of thinking along those same lines.
I'm really looking forward to talking about the players that are going to benefit most from this. I wrote an article about it, and I'm really looking forward to taking an even deeper dive here on our podcast. So that's what we're going to be doing when we return for the second quarter. New offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron coming to town. He's going to be bringing some of the principles that have ravaged the Seahawks defense over the last 4 years against Sean McVay. They're hoping he can put some wrinkles from the Rams offensive attack into the Seahawks offensive system and ultimately get this group back on track after a tough second half of the 2020 season. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're one of a kind, and so are your taxes. That's why TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process, since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert while you perfect your banana bread recipe. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live experts are here to help, giving you the confidence to know that you're one of a kind, uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. When it comes to getting and staying in shape, nothing feels as good as getting that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. The EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm Corbin Smith, joined by Rob Rang for our Wednesday episode. Glad to have you listening in. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. As we mentioned in the first quarter, Rob, the Seahawks officially have a new play caller in town, and Shane Waldron, former passing game coordinator for the Rams, played a big role in the development of Jared Goff and several top 10 offenses down in Southern California. Now he's going to have the opportunity to work with Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and company. And obviously, we don't know what this offense is going to look like, how much of it is going to be similar and different from what Waldron was running with the Rams when he was involved in the passing game coordination and stuff like that. We'll have to wait till training camp and the preseason, maybe an early regular season, to really have an idea what type of scheme the Seahawks are going to have out there. Is it going to be a blend of their former stuff with some new wrinkles? Is it going to be mostly Rams concepts? We don't know yet. That's to be seen. But one thing we can do at this stage is we can look at the Seahawks roster, and based on what we've seen from the Rams offense the last 4 years when Waldron was on that staff, we have a generally good idea which players are going to benefit most from this new offensive coordinator hiring. And I think we have to start with the quarterback, Russell Wilson, who was clearly involved in this process, finding the replacement for Brian Schottenheimer. And I would think that he has got to be ecstatic about this hiring.
Oh, I think so. I think that, you know, with all due respect to Jared Goff, Russell Wilson's a better talent. You know, I mean, he's the more accurate, consistent passer. Obviously, he brings something more in terms of mobility. You know, so I think that right off the bat, I think that there's a strong possibility that the Russell Wilson is going to be able to build upon his numbers, which, of course, were record-breaking numbers for the Seahawks a year ago. So that has got to be exciting. I look at the two dynamic wide receivers. We all know what Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, you know, have been able to do for the Rams. And so I think that that is exciting. As I mentioned in the first quarter, Corbin, I really think that the tight end position is one that could kind of pop, especially with a kind of an exciting size, speed, kind of a guy like a Kobe Parkinson being that red zone threat, as a guy that can kind of go down the seams. Physically speaking, he's a little bit like Tyler Higbee. And so, I think that he makes some sense. Hollister as well. He's physically a little bit like Gerald Everett. So, again, to me, there's all kinds of different exciting things about that. And then you talk about some of these guys that, you know, are free agents. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Seattle is able to bring them back. But David Moore's skill set, and obviously Chris Carson's skill set in this offense, to me, it's not just Russell Wilson. Everybody on Seattle's skill position crew should be very excited about this hiring.
Let's look at Wilson specifically first, because I think one of the most obvious themes of his end of season press conference, I don't know how many times he used the term tempo in that hour long press conference, but it felt like he found a way to incorporate it into every single question that he was asked. I mean, you could have asked him a question about his favorite pizza and he would have started talking about tempo. That's just the way that that press conference went. And I think he was sending a clear message there that he's not wanting this team to run no huddle all the time, but he doesn't want him to be stagnant either. And Waldron, coming from the Rams offense, we've seen this firsthand with Sean McVay. They mix up their tempos throughout their drives. They'll go huddle for a couple plays, and then they'll come up and they'll get to the line really quickly to try to get the defense caught off guard. And it gives the quarterback a chance to read the defense, to be able to make adjustments with play calls. How many times do we see them get up to the line of scrimmage with less than 5 seconds left on the play clock? It was a major problem under Brian Schottenheimer. They just didn't have pace a lot of the time. And so to me, that's going to be maybe the biggest thing that you're going to have that's going to be an improvement here with Waldron coming in over Schottenheimer, is that you're going to have more pace with your offense. There's going to be more tempo, more opportunities for him to dictate the play at the line of scrimmage. And you also have the ability to get him outside the pocket. We know how much the Rams love to run play action with bootlegs and rollouts. Russell Wilson is at his best when he's on the move. You're moving the pocket, so you're playing to his biggest strengths. And so I anticipate we're going to see a lot more of that, particularly from under center, which the Seahawks haven't done as much in recent seasons. And I think Wilson's going to benefit from that. And then you can look at the pass protection aspect as well. Jared Goff was sacked 80 combined times the last 3 years, and a lot of it has to do with the play calls getting the football out quickly. Now, Russell Wilson has to actually execute and unload the football, which has been an issue for him at times. But there has been a nice long track record here. The Rams' offensive line is solid, but not great. But they don't give up a ton of sacks, and a lot of it has to do with that quick strike passing game. I think that this is going to be a great opportunity for Russell Wilson to be protected more just by the style of offense that they're going to be running.
Yeah, you just mentioned two things there that I'm really happy that you did, because I think that, again, that's some of the reason to be excited about this hiring. For one, the Rams offense is not exactly loaded with superstar early draft picks. I mean, you have Andrew Whitworth, of course, who is possibly a future Hall of Famer, certainly has been a spectacular player for them for a long time. But, of course, he struggled with injuries this past season, and yet the Rams offense still kind of continued to be pretty successful, in a big part of it was because, as you just mentioned, the fact that they do run a lot of those short passing routes that gets the ball out of the hands of Jared Goff that much quicker. As you talked about, Russell Wilson is at his best when he's on those little bootlegs where he's able to stress the defense with his legs. And so to me, that's one of the exciting things, is that you look at Seattle's wide receivers. We know what a beast the DK Metcalf can be. And I'm one of those who absolutely believes that he is so much more than just the big physical downfield threat. I think that he can run every route. We know Tyler Lockett can run every route. As I mentioned before, I'm excited about the possibility of David Moore in this offense because of his ability to break a tackle with his physicality, or at least his potential to do so. And I really think that if you in Waldron's offense, or at least what I anticipate it will look like, then there will be a lot more of those shorter, quicker routes that is going to be able to put the ball in the hands of Seattle's pass catchers and give them the opportunity to make some plays after the catch. And that, of course, has been one of the huge problems of this club for the last several years.
And you were talking tight ends. That's where I'm going to go next here, because obviously Russell Wilson's the biggest winner here, getting an offensive system that I have always been curious. To be honest, when I've watched the Rams and the Seahawks play, I've always kind of wondered, what would Russell Wilson look like if he was in Sean McVay's offense? Well, now we might at least get a glimpse of what it sort of would look like, because you have one of his proteges now calling the plays for you. And so that's going to be fascinating. But the tight end position, the Rams have done such a good job over the last 3 or 4 years of utilizing their tight ends. In 2019, Higbee and Everett combined for over 1,100 receiving yards. Last year, they almost got back to 1,000 receiving yards between the two of them, and they had 6 touchdowns. And so they are going to feature the tight ends in the passing game, and they're going to feature them when they get down into the red zone. And that's where Colby Parkinson comes in. You mentioned him in the first quarter. To me, you look at the physical skill set. 6'7", he ran a sub 4.8 40-yard dash, so he's got decent speed. He's a fluid athlete at that size. He's got that tall frame that you can still put muscle on, and he had no drops his final season at Stanford. He has really good hands, soft hands, and so he's a reliable target to go with that size. We didn't get to see much of him this year because he missed the first half of the season with a foot injury, but as long as he's healthy, the Rams love to run 11 and 12 personnel, 1 and 2 tight end packages in single back under center. They like to motion their tight ends. They like to motion their tight ends outside. They like to run bunch sets. I feel like they have always done a fantastic job of creating good matchups for their tight ends. And if the Seahawks are able to do that, Colby Parkinson has a chance to be a player that really breaks out in year two in this offense.
Agreed 100%. You know, that's the thing, is that I think that he does have the skill set really to kind of splash in this offense. To me, what this is going to come down to is what does Seattle do at the running back position? Because we saw the impact that Cam Akers had on the Rams offense a year ago. And so it's all going to come down to whether or not Seattle is able to retain Chris Carson or Carlos Hyde, if they're going to go back to Rashad Penny, which is a possibility. Because I think that if you look at the way that the Rams offense really was at its best, at least in the running game, then they're using that outside zone. And that really ties in very well with what Rashad Penny was. Now, if he still has that type of speed, and of course, we only saw snippets of action from him this past season coming off the injury. But if the Seahawks are confident that Rashad Penny is the same guy that they used a first round selection on, then he has a chance to be a real breakout star in this offense as well.
Rashad Penny was one of the players that I highlighted in my article. And the big reason why, again, you look at with Colby Parkinson, it's system fit. And dating back to his time in college, Rashad Penny was playing in an offense at San Diego State that ran a lot of 2-back sets under center. And so when he got into the NFL, he had his share of issues running out of shotgun. I feel like he has improved when he's been on the field. Obviously, injuries have been a big problem for him. But when he's been on the field before he tore his ACL, you started to see things clicking a little bit running out of shotgun. But he is still at his best running from under center, running those wide outside zones, which I think is going to become a big staple of the run game with Waldron calling the plays. And that really gives you a chance to accentuate the two biggest strengths in Rashad Penny's game, which are his explosiveness and his speed, that third gear that he can hit. We didn't get a chance to really see that the three games he played at the end of the season this year. But if he's able to regain that explosiveness, he's able to stay healthy. I would think the system fit here has to be very intriguing. We know the talent is there. I think this gives him the best chance to be successful. And so he is another wild card in all this. Him and Colby Parkinson are just two guys that in Schottenheimer's system, I don't know if they were necessarily the best fits. I think in this offensive scheme, if they are running a lot of stuff that's similar to what the Rams do, and they run that single back under center style offense, I think both these guys have immense potential because it suits their physical and athletic strengths really, really well.
It does. And to me, well, the other thing is that, again, you know me, Corbin, I'm always going to look at who is the team going to be facing up against. And obviously, they're going to be going up against the NFC West, which happens to have some of the dominant defensive lines and pass rushes in all of the NFL. You know, San Francisco is going to get Bosa back and they're going to be ferocious. And obviously, the Rams are terrific as well. And so, again, it's really important for Seattle to be able to implement a little bit more of that short passing game. A little bit more of that outside zone, a little bit more of getting Russell Wilson out of the pocket. So it kind of mitigates that pass rush. And so, again, I just think that this is an offensive coordinator who it looks like, at least on paper, at least in theory, should be able to allow Seattle to do exactly that, to mitigate the best pass rushers in all of the NFL, which unfortunately for the Seahawks happen to be in their own division.
Yep, the NFC West is still loaded with pass rushers, especially when Bosa comes back. Everybody knows about Aaron Donald and company. So, again, the emphasis on that quick passing game is going to be important. And you can establish the run. You can also establish the quick passing game. And both of those can open up those downfield opportunities that seem to elude the Seahawks passing game the last 8 or 9 games of the regular season. We come back in the third quarter. We're going to shift back to draft talk. Yesterday, we looked at some offensive skill players to watch in the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. We're going to go to the trenches, the big fellas up front, offensive linemen to watch in the Senior Bowl. When we return, you're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Even though the Super Bowl is 2 weeks away when the Buccaneers battle the Chiefs, there's plenty of other sports action on tap. College basketball and the NBA are heating up, and baseball is right around the corner. Tons of crucial sporting events are on tap in coming weeks. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. As an avid weightlifter and distance runner, I'm always looking for an edge when it comes to nutrition, seeking delicious, healthy protein bars without the crazy additives. Since being diagnosed with celiac disease, my options have been pretty limited. Until now. Enter in the Built Bar, a low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, gluten-free protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar now comes in 18 mouth-watering flavors, including 6 new delicious flavors such as caramel brownie and cookies and cream. My all-time favorite is peanut butter brownie, which is 20 grams of protein, just 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. Since I had my first Built Bar, I never go without one when I hit the weight room or go for a jog. All Built Bars are 100% chocolate, nut and gluten-free, soft and easy to chew, and don't have the nasty aftertaste of competing protein bars. Sound too good to be true? Go to BuiltBar.com and build your own custom box with your choice of flavors using the code LOCKEDON for $10 off. You will also receive a free cooler with your first purchase while supplies last. So what are you waiting for? Change your workout game by going to BuiltBar.com and entering code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. I'm Corbin Smith, along with Rob Rang. The Senior Bowl now two practices in. You and I both know how this goes, even in a weird year like this where COVID-19 is wreaking havoc. The Senior Bowl gets started and it's done in a blur. So we're already 2 days into the practice sessions. The game's going to be coming up this weekend. We looked at skill players yesterday for both the American and national team. And now we're going to talk offensive line, the big and heavies. You know, your meat grinders up front. And I'll tell you what, this class, it might be one of the better all-around offensive line classes that I have evaluated since I've been in this business. Last year was an outstanding tackle class, but this is another one that's a really good tackle class. And I love the group of guards and centers that we have in Mobile, Alabama as well. A ton of size, a lot of brute strength, some big, mean, nasty guys that I think have a bright future in the NFL.
No, I agree. I mean, that's one of the things that's a little frustrating as a Seahawks guy is that, you know, you wish you had a few more draft picks to take full advantage of all the offensive linemen in this class that really seem to fit what Seattle has done in the past. And it's going to be interesting to see if that's going to marry well with what the Waldron may want to do here in the future. Because, again, if you look at the offensive linemen the Rams have had, they have absolute monsters on the outside in Whitworth at 6'7", 325 pounds, and Rob Havenstein at 6'7", 320 pounds. I mean, these are two monsters, but they're three interior guys, Corbin, are averaging about 6'3", 310 pounds. They're much lighter, much quicker kind of guys, very different from some of the behemoths that Seattle has used in the inside. So it's going to be fascinating to see which kind of strategy they're going to take here. Are they going to continue to get the big guys? Because as you mentioned, there are a lot of big guys, especially in Mobile. I mean, one of my favorite players is Aaron Banks from Notre Dame. You talk about just a physical mauler at the point of attack. Then he's somebody that, again, the past Seahawks, I think, would have been very intrigued by. Alabama center Landon Dickerson, the Remington Award winner as the nation's best center, despite the fact that he only recently joined Alabama after originally playing his college ball at Florida State, where some people thought that he had been a bust there. Well, the only bust that he has is the one of the Remington Trophy in his living room at this point, because he was absolutely spectacular. There's not many centers that get you excited. Watch some tape on Landon Dickerson. He'll get you excited. So, again, regardless or whatever Seattle decides to do in terms of free agency along the offensive line, if they don't sign a bunch of these guys back, then there are the rookies in this year's draft class to be able to help fill some of those needs.
And I think there are some players that you can get when the Seahawks have picks. Obviously, they're not going to be getting the first-round talent, but there are a couple guys in the second round that I think with their second-round selection could make a lot of sense, even if they trade down once to go into the third round to add another pick. There are some really good tackles and guards that I think could be available in the third round or later. And one of them that stands out to me, I'm going to be honest with you, Rob, I felt like Alaric Jackson at Iowa a couple years ago, it looked like he was going to be a guy that was going to be a first-round pick, and he hasn't progressed quite as I envisioned for the Hawkeyes, but he's got good enough size. We're talking about a player that's around 6'6", 320 pounds. He can play physically at the line of scrimmage. He's got strong hands. When he gets his hands on somebody, it's game over for you. He's got some recovery strength, and he's just one of those guys that plays bigger than what his frame is. So I think you can add some more weight onto his body. I do have some questions about his technique as far as pass sets go, but I think an established line coach like Mike Solari could have a lot of luck refining that technique, and he's got the athleticism. He's got the skill set, I think, to turn into a really solid left tackle in the NFL. We know that the Seahawks at some point have to find Duane Brown's heir apparent. I think Alaric Jackson in the second or early third round, depending when the Seahawks pick first, would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, if he's available to them, I think that he absolutely makes some sense. He's one of about 8 or 10 offensive tackles this year, Corbin, who I think are our future starting tackles in the NFL. And, you know, that might sound like a broken record. I mean, last year, as you talked about, last year was a terrific class of tackles. I mean, it was arguably the best in NFL history. There were 6 tackles that went in the first round that either set the record or tied it, as far as the most to go in the first 32 picks. And I'm telling you right now, I think this year's class is going to be right there with it again. You know, the Seahawks have been a little bit loath to want to invest early draft picks in their offensive linemen. Obviously, they've had their share of issues there. And obviously, they don't have a first-round selection this year. But the depth of this year's tackle class is one of the things that is really exciting. And I love Alaric Jackson. I mean, to me, this is a guy that, you know, you mentioned that he hasn't really kind of peaked yet. To me, that's an exciting thing about him. I mean, he started 42 games at Iowa. Kirk Ferentz, the head coach there, is one of the best in the business as far as producing NFL caliber offensive linemen. 42 starts, all of them at left tackle, five-star recruit out of Detroit. He's a tough guy. To me, he makes a lot of sense if he is available and the Seahawks have an opportunity to select him. I think he has got to be somebody they would be considering.
And one other name at the tackle position, and I think you and I have both talked about him a few times because we've watched quite a bit of film on him, and North Dakota State only played one game this season because of COVID-19, but Dylan Radins, a little bit light, around 300 pounds, but he's got the frame to be able to add some weight to that body, and he plays much bigger than what he is. He has an edge. He's got a nastiness to him. He imposes as well, and granted, he's done it on inferior competition at a lower level, but we know North Dakota State knows how to kick out good NFL prospects. They seem to do it year after year, all the national championships that they've had. What I really like about this kid is it's just a combination of athleticism with strength, potential to add size to him. I think it makes him versatile scheme-wise. So regardless of what the Seahawks want to do with their new offensive coordinator, if they're going to run more of a wide zone style offense like the Rams do, he's got the athleticism to be able to play either tackle spot. If they want to keep running the system that Mike Solari wants to do with his more power run game oriented, I think Dylan Radins can also play in that scheme because he will get after you off the snap and he will blow you up off the line of scrimmage. He is a physically imposing lineman. Even though he's 300 pounds, he just plays bigger.
He does. And I love that you mentioned him. I mean, because to me, that's the kind of guy I mentioned, the Michigan wide receiver Nico Collins yesterday, as somebody I think that the Seahawks might like just because of how big he is and what a fascinating evaluation that he is going to be because he opted out on the season. Radins wanted to play. But as you mentioned, North Dakota State, their season basically came down to one game this past year before that entire league, that entire division of football shut it down due to the pandemic. So talk about a guy who has everything on the line this week. So you know you're going to get your best. He is a hyper-competitive guy, very physical guy. So to me, he is going to be one of those one of those guys who I think it's a chance to be a first-round pick. If not that, then definitely a second-round selection. Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl's executive director, of course, a former Seahawks scout, was just gushing about Radins, on Twitter and on other social media accounts prior to this year. This is the kind of guy that fits in very well in a modern NFL because of his size, because of his athleticism. He looks more like a tight end the way he moves, but he plays definitely like an interior offensive lineman with his physicality.
Let's talk guards and centers now. You threw out a couple of names, and what I really like about this class, I mentioned at the beginning of this segment, is just the pure size. You know, the Seahawks have been wanting to get those big-bodied guards. I think that might change a little bit because of the offensive scheme changes they may have with Shane Waldron now being the play caller. But if they are wanting to get another 330, 340, 350-pound mauler in the middle, they have their share of options, and one of my favorites in this class, and he's having a good Senior Bowl so far. I was watching some clips that were posted. He is holding his own. Ben Cleveland from Georgia, he's had a couple of injuries in his college career, but we're talking about a guy that's around 6'5", 6'6", 345, 350-pound range, and he plays like that size. And his hands, you always hear the terms heavy hands. For his, I call them boulder hands because once he gets those hands into you and he hits you, it's game over. You are not going to win. He's just got as strong a hand as I've seen from any lineman in this class. And it allows him to hold his own against better athletes in the defensive side of the football as well because he's able to knock those guys back and it neutralizes their quickness and their speed. And so certainly there's some issues occasionally with him where if he gets beat inside or beaten with a counter move, he has a tough time recovering. But He is the type of lineman the Seahawks have coveted the guard position because he bullies people at the line of scrimmage. He's a surprisingly decent second-level blocker in the run game as well. And I think he improved as a pass protector throughout his career with the Bulldogs.
Exactly. And he's a guy that fits or checks a lot of the boxes that the Seahawks have kind of required in the past. This is a co-captain. It's the first team all SEC player from a club that likes to run the football right down the throats of their opponents. You know, last year, of course, we're talking about how good the offensive tackle class was. Two of the offensive tackles that went in the first round, of course, came from the University of Georgia, Andrew Thomas, and a player that I really thought would fit in very nicely with Seattle, Isaiah Wilson. Well, Ben Cleveland was playing inside of him, and his physicality really kind of set the tone, as well as the center, Trey Hill, is another one. Again, this is a terrific offensive line class. I'm excited to see how Cleveland does in this game, in the Senior Bowl, because he is going to be going up against some very quick-footed, who they may not have bolder hands, but they have very quick hands, and so it's going to be an interesting competition for Cleveland in this game. I already mentioned Aaron Banks, and so some of these other maulers out there. So let me kind of just quickly switch to, if you're looking for a guy who is a little bit more quick rather than power, then Drake Jackson from Kentucky. He's 6'2", 295 pounds. He's not exactly the big physical mauler that the Seahawks have prioritized in the past. But at the same time, to me, he fits in very well with what the Rams have looked for in the past. He might be the quickest center in this draft class, and not many people are talking about Drake Jackson, but a terrific player for the Wildcats and a guy that you might be able to get on day three. I think he's a possible starter someday in the NFL.
I want to talk small school prospects because it's something that we don't get a chance to do very often. And the Senior Bowl is really that first chance where you can see Division II and Division III prospects going against some of the best seniors from the Division I level. And one guy that was already on my radar, because I actually have a player that I previously coached that plays at Wisconsin Whitewater, so he knows this kid personally, but Quinn Miners, 6'1", 320 pounds. There's a funny picture going around on social media. First day of their Senior Bowl practices, he was sporting an Ezekiel Elliott look with his jersey pulled all the way up and letting that belly hang out a little bit. So it was the ultimate fashion statement for the Senior Bowl. But this dude gets after people. He plays with physicality and ferociousness. I really like him at the left guard spot. He has played center too. I personally think in the NFL, he's probably a left guard. He plays bigger even than the 320-pound frame would suggest. Maybe a guy that you have to develop for a little bit because he's playing from D3, but he has not shied away at all from playing with the big dogs from your top D1 conferences these first 2 days. And he has held his own. He's got that attitude, that personality that the Seahawks love to have, that orneriness that they're always looking for from their interior offensive linemen.
Yeah, he checks, again, a lot of Seahawk boxes in that regard. You know, Seattle has been a little bit kind of loath to take these small school guys, especially along the offensive line. But I agree with you, Corbin. I think that Miners is one of those guys that maybe you have to make an exception. I mean, he saw, as you said, kind of with his wearing his uniform like Ezekiel Elliott and all that. That kind of just shows his personality. I mean, there's not many guys who are going to be willing to kind of call attention to themselves at the D3 level going up against all of these big boys, at the Senior Bowl. But that's the kind of player he is. He is one that, again, Seahawks fans, if they're going to watch some highlights, watch this kid. I mean, talk about a decleating kind of a player. That's exactly what it is. And what I like about him is he's not just a bowling ball. He's not just really physical. He's really athletic. He's light on his feet. He adjusts to moving targets and linebackers at the second level. And so, again, that might be a nice fit with what Waldron is expected to be kind of bringing to Seattle's offensive line approach.
Let's talk one wild card apiece real quick. For me, I'm going to stay in the interior, a player that I anticipate is going to probably be gone before the Seahawks have their first pick at number 56 overall. I don't know that he'll be in play for the Seahawks. And there are questions about scheme fit here because we don't really know what the Seahawks run game is going to look like. Are they going to find a way to blend what Mike Solari wants to do with what Shane Waldron is going to bring from the Rams system? We just don't know how this could play out, what kind of players they're looking for. But if they're going to be doing a lot of stuff similar to what they've been doing in recent years, Deonte Brown out of Alabama, 6'3", 364 pounds. He is a mountain of a man. And this is what's shocking. In three seasons at Alabama, he has not given up a single sack. Now, I think part of it might be because pass rushers, in order to get around him, you have to go out of bounds. But you're not going to run through him either. The guy is just a tank. And certainly with his size, there are athletic limitations with him. He can be beaten by guys that have good counter moves and have a quick first step. But for the most part, he is an enforcer. And he's not just big. He plays with an edge. He plays with nastiness. And he's been, like I said, a much better pass protector than you would have ever imagined. Not giving up a sack in 3 years at Alabama, that's extremely impressive. And so he is a player that is on my short list. I don't know if the scheme fit's going to be there. I don't know if he's there at 56, but just looking at the pictures, you're just like, I would like to see that mountain of man blocking in front of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anytime a guy is that big and is as light on his feet as he is, then yeah, I think that he absolutely has to be somebody that you consider. As far as a wild card for me, you know, I talked before about just, you know, kind of gushing about the top end talent at the tackle position this year. And to me, there's a guy, Brennan James from Nebraska, 6'5", 300 pounds. He doesn't have elite size. I don't think he's going to run, incredibly well or impress in workouts and things like that. You know, so much so that the people are going to create a whole bunch of buzz about him. I gave him a fourth round grade going into the season. I thought that he at least played to that level this year for Nebraska, a team that, you know, frankly isn't as good as they have been in many years in the past. But this guy was just as rock solid and dependable as it gets. And he is a player that, again, because the tackle class is so good, he could be available to you in the late rounds. And I like his positional versatility. I think that he is a guy that can slide inside and play that guard spot for you. You're looking in those late rounds for guys who are just going to stick on the roster and give you that type of versatility. To me, James is one of those guys that can do exactly that.
It's a double-edged sword because, as you said, the Seahawks only have four draft picks right now. So you're feeling like, man, if they could just have another pick or two so they could really take advantage of this draft class. But at the same token, even though three of those four picks are on day three, there still may be some really solid players available at tackle, guard, and center. It is a deep class at all three positions. It really is. As I said, beginning of this segment, it may be from top to bottom at all three spots along the line, it may be the best offensive line class that I've seen since I have been in this business evaluating drafts. I'm just really excited top to bottom, the style of players that are going to be entering the league. Teams that need offensive line help, this is the year you go out and get it. So the Seahawks will be hoping to get their hands maybe on one or two of these players come April. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast by going to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. Make sure to leave us a review. When we come back for our Thursday show, I'm going to be riding solo, going to be taking a look at Damian Lewis's spectacular rookie season for the Seahawks in our latest rookie spotlight. And then I'm going to be taking a look at some defensive linemen to watch in this week's Senior Bowl for the American and national teams. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.